These are real people. They do have struggles.
And it starts to get on my nerves. I just shut down.
So many people suffer from mental illness.
To get the word out that men have got to start talking.
A lot of people don't understand the depth of the situation, so they can't appreciate,
It's difficult dealing with our minds, and the suicidal thoughts were back.
People knew that there was something not right, but they just never really said anything or probably felt like it wasn't their place to say anything.
You're not depressed, it's all in your head. That's probably the statement I've had people say the most.
I mean, this shit is real, and it's hard, it's exhausting.
Sometimes you need somebody to just give you permission.
And I think people realize how helpful that one conversation can be just to figure out why you are feeling the way you are.
Not only did this help me to write it, it potentially might have helped some other people as well. So it sort of started from there.
People just want to know that they're safe to talk and share these things.
So many people think they're alone. And then you hear other people talk about it and they think, oh, that's so brave, or I could relate to that. And then they want to talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to the Open Journal podcast. I hope you're well. Hope things are good for you right now. And welcome back to the conversation. This is part two of my chat with Anna. So if you haven't listened to the previous episode, please do go back and listen to what is probably episode 286, I think. In the previous episode, we talked a little bit about our New Year plans, goals, resolutions, activities, routines, things we were thinking about trying or have tried in the past. And in this episode, we're going to hear a little bit more about Anna's experience starting up her blog, her Twitch channel. We talk a little bit about co-working and to some extent gamification as well. It's really interesting just to have that opportunity to sit down and chat with Anna. Again, I really hope we're able to do this later on in the year and maybe touch on a couple of different topics, campaigns or activities that are going on then as well. If you do want to find out more about Anna, all of her links are at the end of our discussion or in the notes that go along with this podcast as well. Again, a big thank you to Anna and to all of you for continuing to download, listen, subscribe and support the podcast. If you'd like to find out more about the podcast in general or being a guest in the future, you can find information on the website, which is openjournalbc.com. And if you are so inclined and have enjoyed the episode, please do consider leaving a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. It really does help other people find this podcast and so the conversations and support that we discuss as well. Thank you so much. Here's the second part of our conversation. In there, you mentioned a little bit about your kind of your blog and some of the other things you do. I just wondered if you'd be happy to share with us a little bit about kind of how that started and what that involves if people haven't seen some of the things that you've done before.
Sure. So I've enjoyed writing for a lot of my life, but I have so many different interests and hobbies, and it's something that took a back burner. But in college, I had some professors really encourage me in my writing. And then I took a writing for publication class in college, and we had to start a blog for it. And I took it as an opportunity to like go all in. And I was the nerd who like, I started it like the summer before the class started, like trying to prep everything and like, because it's something I wanted to try. And I was like, well, this is my opportunity. We'll give it a shot. And I fell in love with it. And again, like I was studying counseling at the time. But with like my own energy levels and then like now with my depression, I felt like I could help people more through my writing. Mm-hmm. Like counseling might be something I pursue again someday, but right now I just feel like I don't have the energy to like make it worthwhile to like have enough clients to pay off all the debt that would be for going to get my master's degree and all that to like do it. But like writing is a way that I felt like I could help people. And so that's how it kind of started and then continued. And A few years later, I added on a YouTube channel because there was like someone I followed who, I think they call it like personality marketing, or like she was sharing how like the quickest way for people to like know and trust you is like often through video, where you can like see their face and hear their voice. And at the time it was just really scary, but I wanted to give that a try. And then, so I added YouTube and really liked that. And yeah, it started off being kind of more general personal development and has kind of narrowed down more. I've always been big into like psychology and personality theory. And so I'm really passionate about like helping people learn more about who they are and then how to apply that for like personal growth and greater success with their goals.
it's one of those where I find it quite interesting because we've had a number of conversations before, but not really the chance to sit down and just have like a one-to-one conversation. How many bits as part of this conversation I've gone, oh, like I knew that bit, but not that bit, and how it sort of fitted together is really interesting. Less interesting, I'm sure, for a listener who hasn't had those previous conversations. But seeing, yeah, how they come together and how they kind of have joined and supported each other as I guess your experience in those fields is kind of built as well. Are there things kind of in the future, like this year, maybe that you're looking to particularly do or develop around the material that you share online?
Yeah, so this is going to sound kind of contradicting, but like I didn't, the past couple years, you know, with like with my depression and such, like I haven't been able to post as much as I'd like. And I still, it's my aim to create more content this year. But again, like I'm entering this year trying to give myself so much grace and kindness of like just kind of going with the flow of my energy and just being kind to myself if I'm not able to do as much as I'd like again. But that's the aim. I also, this past year, something I did not expect I'd ever do, I started streaming on Twitch. And like, it's scary enough doing YouTube, but at least I'm alone, I can record it, I can edit things, I can redo things. But live streaming is the scariest thing. Like, I'm really nervous right now recording this with you. And like, there's a reason I started a blog, because I'm more of a writer than a speaker, and my words don't do the wording. And but I thought it would be, when I started it, I was just going to be this very occasional thing to just kind of practice speaking in front of people and kind of developing that skill. But I ended up really liking it, and I met like so many amazing people kind of like from watching other people's streams and connecting that way. And I've made friends through it. And so I've been so surprised that it's like becoming a thing. But it's something I want to continue again to like to try to just face those fears and hopefully get a little bit more confident. I'm never going to be like the best speaker in the world, but at least like get a little bit more confident with it. And just a way to also like build community. And it's just a very different thing even than from like talking to people in the comments on my YouTube channel, but like it's live and you're like getting to know people. And it's really scary, but I tried to like share a bit about like my struggles and depression and stuff. And I want to eventually get to the point where I can have some more of those deep conversations with people. But to start off, like I get scared like the longer I have to talk out loud. Mm-hmm. So like it's with Twitch, it's like, it's mainly for people who are like, there's so many different categories, like people do art on there, people do all kinds of things, but it's mainly people like playing video games. And so like, I'm able to kind of like play a game and then just chat with people in chat. And that just kind of takes some of the pressure off, because you're like responding to people or responding to what's happening in front of you rather than just talking. And so it's kind of my way to like ease in and practice. And eventually, like, I think it'll be a cool way to kind of link it with my YouTube, like having like some live feedback with people, like by having conversations with them. So then that kind of informs how I can better help people and like the content that I'm creating.
The different, I imagine there's different sorts of interactions or feedback that you get from the blog, from YouTube and from Twitch. They're different sorts of conversations that you're part of.
A little bit. Hopefully it'll all start to come together, but
I need to use the thesaurus or something to find other words for interesting, because I feel like that's definitely a word I say too often in these conversations, because people come on and we have these conversations. I'm like, that sounds so interesting. It sort of undermines how interesting it is. But yeah, that you're having those conversations in those different spaces, and I imagine why there is an overlap. They're different people that are reading a blog post to those that are watching YouTube, to those that are watching you live stream playing a game and having those conversations about well-being while you're doing it. And the different types of, I don't know, interaction or support, support and guidance is not really what I'm like, side-by-sideness someone is getting from hearing you talk through those conversations or having that conversation with them, I think is really valuable and also really different in those spaces. And it'd be so interesting, like at another time, to delve into that more and to look at how are those conversations similar and how are they different, or how are the audiences different as well. I think one thing that has, or I've noticed with some of the stuff you shared around posting on Twitch and being live there as well, is that opportunity maybe for people to, I don't know, actually interact with you rather than like sometimes through comments on posts and things like that. It feels like there's that delay because it's not a live interaction, or I guess like you were saying about seeing someone's face on a video, like sometimes there's a lack of connection where it's like, oh, I'm not having a conversation with that person, I'm having a conversation with like them via a web service or whatever, whereas Twitch and maybe YouTube to some extent, because it's your face there, of people feel like they're really interacting and having that that time to talk with you or hear from you. Does that feel like a different experience to you, like on those video platforms?
I mean, I think you covered most of it just then.
I've waffled my answer in the question.
You were correct. It's very different, because like you said, with it being live streaming, you're talking to people in real time. And something that's been cool about Twitch is like, I'm realizing how much people often use it to like have company, like people who are feeling very lonely or don't have a lot of opportunities to be around people. And so it's become like just such a beautiful space, like for people to connect and feel less alone. And like, I'm happy to try to provide that. And Yeah, it's also with YouTube, I've been trying to get to the point where I can monetize it. And like, you have to get like 1,000 subscribers and like 3,000 to 4,000 something like watch hours in the year. And I still haven't reached that. Like, I worked hard on my YouTube channel and I still couldn't get to that. But on Twitch, it only took me a month to reach what they call affiliate status, where then you can start making money from it. And it was just so weird because it's like, I spent so much time on YouTube and still I'm not to the point where I could make any money from it, you know, through the ads and stuff. Mm. But on Twitch, like, I got that so quickly. And then like, it's just such a supportive place. I mean, it's not like I'm making a lot of money, but like, people are just so generous and so kind and supportive, and like, people will give you shout outs in their streams. And I've just met so many lovely people. And though there's like a few people I follow who are kind of in that mental health niche, like, it is a lot of people who are just focused on games. And so like, it is kind of a different groups of people, I guess, than the people that I find first through like my blog and YouTube. And that might kind of, you know, change over time as I work to kind of lean more into talking about, you know, personal development and mental health on my Twitch channel. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far, even though it's terrifying.
That's really positive, though. I mean, a really nice, like, again, look at the different ways that the platforms have worked for you. I'm sure YouTube has been great and there's been a lot that has come from that, but also look, I've tried this other thing and a quicker response or a more positive response in the short period. And actually, what are the other opportunities that might be available there moving forward? And like you said, maybe trying a few different things this year as well, there could be really interesting for people to look out for and potentially be part of as well.
Yeah. One other thing I do on Twitch is I do co-working streams where I like set a timer and we have periods where we just chat for a bit and hang out. And then we have like an hour or so time to work on our own things while I have some like music playing in the background. And because it's something that I've really enjoyed from other people. And like with my ADHD, like I found it helps to have like what they call body doubling, like when just someone is there also working on things, like it helps me to stay focused. Mm. And so like, that's just like another little thing that I've added in that I don't, it's super helpful to me. And I think it's been helpful for some people too, I hope.
I wonder, because you also, if you got a lot more people that are home or remote working as well now, that maybe in the past would have been really used to or benefited from being in a workplace, doesn't have to be an office, but just a workplace where there are other people around. And then more and more jobs now have got kind of less office space or less workspace. And so it's actually, we'd rather you work from home and just come in 2 days a week or something. And then suddenly you've got people that really want to be around people are at home working. So having that option to have kind of a virtual co-worker, like you say, to sometimes to check in and have a chat, but also just there's someone else working alongside me.
Yeah.
What, how did that start? Because that feels, while obviously linked because we're informed and can think about the ways that that links to mental health, but how did that kind of, where did you get the idea to start that, and how did like the first one go?
I've participated in some like co-working calls in the past, like we're over Zoom, like we're all just there. And I knew that that was really helpful for me. And during the time that I was working on this big art commission, near the end of the year, I started having like calls with a friend where we were just muted. And I just like, I had my screen shared too. And like, it helped me so much. And then I saw that some people do that on Twitch. And so I thought I would give that a try. And it was really helpful for me. And I got like at least some like positive feedback. And so I thought I would try that again. And so far it's been a fairly good response. And Yeah.
It sounds really positive. And it's still on my calendar. I think it's popped up twice. And I keep going, push this back to someone else. Because I need to set up like an account or something. Because I think that's one of those things I feel like, oh, kids, have you sat on another screen? And just having that extra person sometimes is quite a nice thing. So definitely something for people to look out for. One of the other things, kind of big conversation jump, that I really wanted to include in our conversation in some way is kind of the other activities that people might do to support their well-being and different things. And I'm sure there's lots of constructive and traditional things that we could talk about, but Pokemon Go. I feel like it was a really big thing a few years ago. Everyone jumped on at the beginning and it had a massive like first month and then disappeared sort of. But again, with this idea of like a lot of remote working and encouraging people to sort of break up their day sometimes, like either at the beginning, the end, the middle, somewhere, and just kind of go outdoors and have a walk, or do some sort of other exercise. It feels like I'm surprised it hasn't sort of popped up again in popularity with that shift of working, that actually now there's like that opportunity to encourage people to sort of go outside for half an hour, have a walk, a cycle, or something. But it is also a route into talking about something that can be a really supportive thing for people's well-being and having that sort of niche hobby or topic. And I know Pokemon is something that pops up in some of your content and conversations as well. I wondered, I've talking about that game in particular because I really enjoyed it at the beginning. I think it's still on my phone, although it's not been open for a while. That game in particular, or are there other things that kind of you've seen be really useful in the past and are surprised haven't kind of become more popular or maybe even come back after some initial popularity?
The Pokemon Go though, like I really need to get back into that because that is such a great thing to kind of gamify getting out and having some exercise. Like I did that at first, but then I wasn't on it for a while, and then I can't log back into my account. I can't figure out what my login was. So I just like have been putting it off getting back into it. So I should do that again. Other things that not sure if I can think of anything off the top of my head.
Maybe it's one we leave with listeners as well to think about. And I think the one I would have said, maybe like the 1 second video a day is also, I feel like that's maybe a cut just because it's going to be an annual thing, isn't it? Probably every January that maybe is going to pop up as a, I feel like it's a prompt to do more things so your video isn't the same every day. Or maybe that's just the pressure I feel not to just film a keyboard. I'm sat at the laptop again. But yeah, I don't know. I am surprised it's not popped up in a slightly bigger way again. Interesting. When you said gamification, the first thing that popped into my head that I've noticed recently is, I don't know if you have Greg shops. They're like, how to describe them? Kind of like bakery is really pushing it. They do like sandwiches, rolls, it's like small pizza slices and things like that. So I've got the app for this shop, but if you buy, I think it's like 9 of a certain item, then you'll get a 10th one free. So the idea is if you scan it every time, eventually you'll get like a free item. Now I hadn't noticed this, but the other day when I opened the app and across the top it's got like your tracker of how many things you've had. So like one of them I think is like sandwiches. So like how many sandwiches have you had? And I thought in my head, just the way I'd observe, the way I'd taken in the information was like, you've bought four, you've got like five more to buy. When I actually read it, it said collect five more for a free one or something. And I was like, collect sounds very use of some like game language there. I've got to buy it. It's not collect. Trying to tie people into that idea of it being a game and making it a bit more engaging. I think usually we see it from kind of that well-being mental health angle, but it's also on the use by, I don't know, is that sort of capital culture there of come and buy things. It's a game.
Oh, speaking of like gamifying things.
Oh, yes.
I've had it for a few years and I just haven't been able to get into it. And I was busy working on an art commission, but there's this thing called Art Quest that I think is like social media handles like Art Bros or something. But I got this like ebook thing and it like gamifies your art practice. Like you get different experience points or along the way for like doing these different prompts for different like art studies and practice. And there's different quests, and then like you can earn gold to then buy different items that like progress you through the quest. And it's really cool. But I just haven't like made myself like make time to really get into it. But I like put it in my planner, like the little scorecard that comes with it to track your points and everything. And I'm wanting to try to do that this year. But for anyone who's wanting to do art practice and needing some extra motivation through like making it like a game, I recommend that.
It's just a different ways that you sort of make a little change or adaptation to something and it becomes slightly different, that it gets that buy-in, doesn't it? Or,
yeah.
Or it gets that willingness for you to pick it up and yeah. Oh, I'm now thinking about the sandwiches I need to collect. I'll work on that tomorrow. We've talked through loads of different things, and there's definitely more. Like I'd love to sit down again another time and have even more of a chat. But if people would like to find out a little bit more about you, Anna, and some of the things that you do or that we've discussed, where are the best places for them to go to find out about you?
My website has probably all my links, therealanna.com, and it's spelled like my last name, R-E-E-L. I'm at The Real Anna on most social media platforms. That's where you can find me.
Amazing. Thank you so much for giving up your time to come and chat and talk through. It felt focused at the beginning, but I feel like we've jumped around a lot, and I really like that. Like that's in my head, that's a proper conversation. Once you've deviated from the first couple of questions, that's when it's good. So thank you so much for sharing and kind of being open with your own experience and knowledge as well. It's just been great to sit down and chat.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
These are real people. They do have struggles.
And it starts to get on my nerves. I just shut down.
So many people suffer from mental illness.
To get the word out that men have got to start talking.
A lot of people don't understand the depth of the situation, so they can't appreciate, yeah.
It's difficult dealing with our minds. And the suicidal thoughts were back.
People knew that there was something not right, but they just never really said anything, or probably felt like it wasn't their place to say anything.
You're not depressed, it's all in your head. That's probably the statement I've had people say the most.
I mean, this shit is real, and it's hard, it's exhausting.
Sometimes you need somebody to just give you permission.
And I think people realise how helpful that one conversation can be just to figure out why you are feeling the way you are.
Not only did this help me to write it, it potentially might have helped some other people as well. So it sort of started from there.
People just want to know that they're safe to talk and share these things.
So many people think they're alone. And then you hear other people talk about it and they think, oh, that's so brave, or I could relate to that. And then they want to talk about it.